So I just want to say good morning and welcome to New Hope Pali'ipa. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Pastor Teresa. This handsome Filipino is my husband, Pastor Glenn. And we're just super excited that you're here today. And like I promised, I'm going to give my hand at giving this message this morning. We are in the middle of an awesome series called God's Kingdom in Hawaii. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's Kingdom in Hawaii. And if you're wondering why we're doing this series, it's because we are celebrating in Hawaii this year the 200th anniversary of Christianity coming to the islands. And so we thought it would be cool for us to understand our heritage. Now, for those of you that don't know me, for those of you that do know me, you know that I was not born and raised in Hawaii. I feel robbed, to be honest. You know, of all the places my dad could have got stationed, we could have came to Hawaii, but no, we went to the Philippines. And I don't regret that because I did get to see some of my mom's heritage. But I didn't grow up in the Hawaiian culture. I never had Hawaiian studies. I didn't learn like the state motto. I didn't anything. I came to Hawaii in 1996 when Misha was born. And so I was really later on in my age. And so it was a lot of fun because Glenn would take me around the island, and he has no mercy, you know. So if you're a foreigner here and you feel like you kill every single Hawaiian word, don't worry. My husband used to tease me. He would drive me around the island and say, read that. And so I would try to read it, and then he would just laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And I think the first one he told me to read was like, like. I put like, like. And he just had a blast with that. So for me, to do this series is incredibly challenging because I don't want to disgrace or offend the Hawaiian people by really destroying your language. But I'm going to do my best today. So if you're wondering why Glenn is here, he gets the Hero's Husband Award today, you know, so give him a hand clap. My husband is a very well thought out, very planned person. He never is spontaneous when it comes to preaching the word of God. He's, you know, but I'm the one who's more spirit led. And we had an incredible weekend of impact for the Lord's glory. But I'm here to tell you, man, it tested me. It stretched me beyond my capacity. We had an awesome memorial service for Bobby Chandler's dad Friday morning. I had to minister to a bunch of directors of preschools in the afternoon. Then we had to do team equipping and building in the night. Then I had to teach a new believer's class in the morning. And then we went to a marriage couples event, and we had to impart and just empower them last night. And we didn't even get home until 10:30. And in between all of that, I'm trying to get ready for this message, which was already going to be a challenge for me because there's a lot of Hawaiian words. So my gracious husband, not prepared because he loves me so much, he said, honey, I said, yeah, you know, I kind of look lethargic. He's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I think so. I'll be okay. He said, what can I do to help? Oh man, take notes. He just said, what can I do to help? I said, babe, you know what you could do? You could take the first two pages of my notes and you can do that part. Can you do that for me? Because then the rest of it, I can just flow in the Holy Ghost and it'll just come out. He said, I'll do that. At 10:30 last night, he put a keynote together to do my first half of my message. Come on. I'm going to get emotional because I felt like the weight of the world lift off of me. It wasn't that I didn't have faith for the Lord to move this morning, but he could see that I had poured every ounce of my being out for the last 3 days. I mean, because Thursday night we had to meet with a couple too. And so he was like, I've never seen my wife. I mean, she can run hard, but this is a lot. And so I'm going to turn it over to him and then he'll give it back to me. So I'm going to take a break over here on this stool. While he does all the heavy lifting, I'm going to come back and do all the light load.
So how long do I have? I just want to make sure that I honor your time. Say again?
10 minutes.
Okay. 15. All right. Anyway, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And isn't this a great series? You guys enjoying this series? It's a little different. You know, I was talking with Sister Melissa over here, and she goes, it's kind of like left field. It's just like a message that we've never really done before. But then again, this is the 200th. It's going to be the 200th anniversary, right, of the missionaries coming to Hawaii. And so that's why it's a big deal for us. And so I'm enjoying it. I hope you are too, and I hope you're being blessed by learning about the heritage, the Christian heritage here in Hawaii, because I'm learning a lot myself. And a lot of the stuff, you know, is kind of review, but they don't really teach you all this stuff in the fourth grade when we have Hawaiiana studies, right? So, you know, just like you, you know, kind of going through all the material and really fortifying, strengthening my faith, yeah? But I just wanted to bring this up real quick, the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions. This was kind of their mission statement, and so this is what they sent out, Hiram Bingham, right, the Kahu Hiram Bingham, with this mission statement, and it says, "For you are to aim at nothing short of covering those islands with fruitful fields and pleasant dwellings and schools and churches, of raising up the whole people to an elevated state of Christian civilization." And the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because last week we talked about how when the missionaries came to Hawaii, they weren't necessarily, well, I take that word back, necessarily, but their motive was not to come here as conquerors. Can we just get that one out of the way? Right? They weren't here to conquer anybody. It's not like they were trying to expand the American empire, because there's no such thing as an American empire. But they came here to do one thing and one thing only. And yes, they wanted to build a kingdom. Whose kingdom was it?
God's kingdom.
God's kingdom. And that's the reason why they came. But I just want to make that clear, that they never came as conquerors, even though as we read this, right, we want to elevate the state of Christian civilization here in Hawaii. So let's just get that one out of the way, yeah? And so, kind of going through their notes real quick, as a review, up until the time of the Hawaii missionaries, the Hawaiians only had an oral tradition. We know this. It's a very, very beautiful culture. They were able to pass on their language, their beliefs, their values, their tradition by speaking, right, to their loved ones. So I would imagine grandparents sitting together with their grandchildren, talking about their ancestors and their history, where they came from, all that kind of stuff. Very, very beautiful. They were very close-knit in that regard, yeah? So they had an oral tradition, which means that they never had any written tradition or any reading or anything like that. For the gospel to spread, they understood that the people in Hawaii needed to become literate. Everybody say literate. Literate does not mean unintelligent, because the Hawaiian people were very intelligent people. Again, they just never had a system of reading and writing. And they knew that the chiefs and the chieftesses, the ali'i, were key to this. Because as the leaders go, so go the people, right? And so they knew that they needed to become, or they needed to get in good graces with the ali'i. And of course, the missionaries promised a printing press and to teach palapala. Everybody say palapala.
Palapala.
Right? What is that? The reading and writing. Yeah? Liholiho. Everybody say liholiho. Kamehameha the second, right? Or I affectionately call him Kamehameha the Great Junior, right? Kamehameha the second. They knew that back then, that they wanted that for the Hawaiian people. Missionaries used every opportunity to become acquainted with the speech by writing down every word that was new to their ears as carefully as they could. Now imagine that, you know, you're hearing a weird, it's not weird, but a language that you've never heard before, right? It's just weird to your ears. Can I get an amen? So all the missionaries coming from the East Coast, coming to Hawaii, they've never heard these sounds before. They've never heard the words before. They never knew what an okina was before, right? And all these kinds of things. So I don't know if you guys noticed, but if you guys look into the history books, Henry Opukahaia, right? I checked with Vance. Vance said, yeah, Opukahaia. Because, you know, as I was doing research, right, there was this pastor who, he did a message on Henry Obuka. So I was like, who the heck is Henry Obuka, right? But back then, the missionaries, all they could, what they heard was Obuka, they put it in print, And so for them, it became Obuka, but in reality, it's Opukuhaia, right? That's why she doesn't want to do it, right? And then if you look at that, it says, a native of Owyhee. Owyhee. So phonetically, you can figure it out what they're trying to say. It's just spelt differently. So you see the difference. Interesting, right? Anyway, that's all that trivial stuff that I kind of find interesting, kind of find fascinating. But we see how it evolved throughout the centuries, yeah? 7th of January, 1822, Elisha Loomis printed the first Hawaiian language page. Yeah? Elisha Loomis. And that is where you take over, sweetheart. Pastor Teresa, everybody, give her a round of applause. She needs encouragement.
My husband loves me. I am a blessed woman. I probably could have done that on my own, but it's the sheer fact that he offered, I just was like, yes. My husband wants to serve me. I'm going to let him. You know what I'm saying? Because women, that's a tip. Your husband working hard to serve you, and you just trying to be that strong woman that can do everything on your own. Just be a little weak and let them help you out a little, okay? So I'm super excited. You know, I was listening and reading through the message, and I thought, and I'm going to come back to this. This is the irony. The Hawaiian language was an oral language. So they spoke the word, right? They spoke the word. And it is foreign to me. Like, when you say words, like, they're like, how come you can't say it? And I'm like, because my ears don't even register what you just said. You know, I tried pronouncing Opokahio several times to say it fast, but it was foreign to me. But what I found fascinating was that the Hawaiian language was an oral language, so they spoke the word. And honestly, when we end today, I'm going to end on speaking the word. And so you might be thinking, then why the heck do we need to print the word? If the power is in the spoken word, why was it necessary for Elisha's printing press and for the printing of the word, right? Well, first of all, when literacy came, when they actually were able to print not only God's word in the Hawaiian language, they actually printed the Hawaiian language in the what they were familiar with, they printed in on paper, right? So when literacy came and people were learning how to read, they could introduce formal education. Okay? The beginnings of formal education, as the ali'i were hungry to learn and set up schools for their own keiki, and eventually for the education of the entire kingdom of Hawaii. And education is important. Imagine with me, what is needed for literacy? How do you make somebody literate? Well, you need something to read, right? How do you teach somebody to read if there isn't anything to read, right? And so the Hawaiian alphabet had to be invented. They didn't have a written alphabet. They had to invent the written alphabet, and the American missionaries adopted the Romanized form of English, a pencil or a pen, to write with paper. Okay? The Hawaiian people first needed a way to render their language in written form. When Henry Opukahaia, thank you for some love. Hallelujah. Learned English in Connecticut, he spelled out his homeland like Glenn showed you, Owyhee, right? He just spelled it phonetically how it sounded. And don't we do that now? I have a fifth grader. And my fifth grader's teacher told me, just let him, he's in kindergarten, he's five, and I already confessed, my brain is tired. Y'all's just gonna have to follow with me. He's five, and he's in kindergarten, and my teacher told me, just let him write the words out however he sounds it. Like, it's okay, because, you know me, I'm like trying to correct his spelling and get it all right. She said, no, don't do that. Just let him write it the way it sounds to him, because that's what's helping him to learn how to read. And so same for them. They had to sound out the words, and then they would write it. The oral culture passed down to written culture, okay? It wasn't that they didn't have knowledge. They didn't have written knowledge. And here's the key. When you're raising children in our society, we know that from kindergarten to third grade, you're going to learn how to read, right? But from third grade on, you read to learn.
And so the power of the printing press is not only could they educate the Hawaiian people how to read, they empower them now to learn and gain knowledge on their own, right? The only other way for somebody to gain knowledge is for them to hear somebody speak that knowledge to them, right? Today's society, we have it even easier than that. We have YouTube, right? You don't even have to read to know. You can watch to know. We can visually see to know. You want to know how to change a radiator in your car? Just go to YouTube and Google, change the radiator in my car. And there's a video, step by step, showing you how to do it. But you got to understand, the Hawaiian people, they didn't have any of that. All they had was an oral way of learning, an oral way of gaining knowledge. And so the missionaries knew that if we could help this nation become literate, we could accelerate, everybody say accelerate, their growth. And obviously they had a mission. They didn't want just the people to grow in knowledge. They wanted them to grow in the kingdom of God knowledge. Amen? And so the people would be empowered to learn and grow on their own. The key to this endeavor was Elisha Loomis's printing press. It was the first printing press operated in Hawaii. And this, check this out, this led to 75% literacy rate, second only to Scotland. Take a nation that was completely illiterate, meaning they couldn't read, not because they were not intelligent people, they just didn't have anything to read, and then become the second highest nation of literacy. That's bigger than like the United States, because the only one that was greater than them at the time was Scotland. That's incredible, and I honestly believe that was the power of God. Honestly, I honestly believe that the Hawaiian culture is a culture that, in my opinion, resonates and emulates the kingdom of God immensely, just by the one word aloha. Like, when I found out what aloha meant, you know, and Glenn was telling me about ha, and I'm like, oh, babe, that is so biblical. I could preach that, you know. I got so excited about the Hawaiian culture. I got even more excited when I found out that the Hawaiians' culture, they were monotheistic. They started off believing in the one true God. And I said, Glenn, how the heck did they become polytheistic? And then he told me, I'm like going, oh, dang, they got watered down, right? God set them apart and then they got watered down. And ever since then, he has been bringing them back to where he originally created a people group that could emulate the love of God. Do you know everywhere I go, people, I'm not even from Hawaii. I blend in real well. You know, I learned the pidgin and the accent and I'm Hawaiian inside here, although I didn't, you know. And people would tell me, oh my gosh, the people in Hawaii are so full of love. You guys are like one of the most loving communities of people. And don't you know that that's what the kingdom of God is? The kingdom of God is love. And the Hawaiian culture got that in spades. You can go anywhere in the world and they know about the love that's in this community in this state. Amen? And so it was incredible to bring literacy to the islands. The first prints were in the form of alphabets and school books, primers and religious tracts, song books and short textbooks. Many missionaries attempted to learn Hawaiian for the principal purpose of translating the Bible into that language. So I can only imagine how hard it was to learn Hawaiian. Like, I heard it's one of the more challenging languages to learn. And as a matter of fact, there aren't very many people who can speak that language. And I get so blown away by people who can. Like, I don't know if you guys remember some time back, Frida Chandler, she did this chant. And it felt like the Holy Spirit just shook the whole building. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's such a powerful language. You know, there's the Hebrew language, obviously, is a powerful language. And the Hawaiian language is powerful as well, right? So many missionaries attempted to learn that Hawaiian simply so that they could translate the Bible into their native tongue, right? Because if you're Chinese, wouldn't you want to read the Word of God in Chinese? If you're Japanese, wouldn't you want to read the Word of God in Japanese? I remember when we first came back to Hawaii, Glenn really wanted his dad to understand the Word of God. He's just like, I gotta know that my dad is saved, right? Many of us feel that way. And he's like, you know what? Babe, let's go to Logos and see if they have a Ilocano dictionary. And we looked high and low. I think you had to order it online, yeah? Did they have it at Logos? They had it at a different store. But we found one. There's two of them. And he bought, I don't know if he's reading it, but I know he could read it. But we bought him a Bible because we knew that if he was going to understand the Word of God, it would be easiest for him to understand that word in his language,
Okay? So it matters that the Word of God is in the Hawaiian language, right? And our very own Pastor Earl, actually, he was part of the translation of the Jesus book. So now they have the Bible in Pidgin. It is official. They just finished. I know my kids are laughing because they grew up with Pastor Earl. Earl the Pearl, they used to call him. But he helped translate the New Testament, and now the Old Testament is completely done into Pidgin, because Pidgin is now a recognized language, right? For those of you that are been born and raised here your whole life, that may be kind of silly. But for the people on the mainland, that's not. They're like, they recognize that as a language now. So they printed that in text, right? The missionaries worked hard to build New England-style frame houses, established churches, created a reading primer in Hawaiian, and translated the Bible, set up schools, and preached the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, why is this important? Now, I want you to envision your life. If you're trying to achieve success, or you're trying to reach a destination, or you're trying to live a better quality of life, anybody like that? Anybody want that? Okay, and you have a map. There is a map that you could use, but you can't read the map. Will you ever get there? Or worse, what if you're trying to get someplace and you don't even have a map? You have no guide, no direction, no understanding, no, hey, go this way, turn this way, go up that way, and you're going to reach it. Then how do you get to where you're going, right? So Psalm 119, verse 115, says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet. Everybody say, guide. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. You see, so many of us are trying to figure out this thing called life. I'm going to take a moment to speak to all the millennials in the house. And it's just because I think that everybody struggles in life to figure out their path. Can I get an amen? And especially the millennials. That group that is like right after high school, college, and then they're trying to, they created a new word. I don't even think this was, I think it's going to be in the dictionary. I don't think adulting, is adulting really a word, or did your generation create that? Is it? I think you created that. I never grew up, did anybody else grow up learning that word, adulting? I don't think that was an English word. I think that was created by a generation, you know. That's how influential you folks can be. Okay, so they're trying to figure out adulting. And I'm here to tell you, if you want to figure out your life and where you're supposed to be going, it says your word, whose word? God's word is a lamp to guide you. It is a light to path, to light your path. It's going to say, hey, look this way. Follow this light and you're going to go where you need to go. Okay, it's his word. And if you want to know the word, think of how long it would take you to understand all of the truth laid out in the Bible if the only way you could hear that truth is to only come on Sundays for that 30 minutes that we're going to give you scripture. Because it wasn't written. Imagine if we didn't have the Bible. And the only way for you to hear spiritual truth is to hear the preacher on Sunday speak the word to you. Just imagine how dry and parched and weary you would feel. But no, thank God we have the written word, okay? The written word. And the word in John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And so when you look at the written word, you are actually encountering the presence of God. It is not supposed to be just some book you read. It is supposed to be a book that empowers and enables and directs you to encounter the very presence of a living God. And we have that opportunity because most homes in America have at least one Bible. Every hotel in America now has a Bible. The Gideons put Bibles in every hotel. So even if you go traveling and you forget your Bible, there's one in the desk, the end table, right? You know, if I did a survey, raise your hand if you have at least one Bible in your house. Okay, let's do it the other way. Raise your hand if you don't have any Bibles in your house. Anybody? Because if you don't have one, I'm going to give you one right now. Okay, so everybody here has a Bible. I would contend that even people who are not Christ followers, they have Bibles in their house. It's the number one selling book in the world, the Bible. I would contend that many homes have more than one. I've already lost track of how many Bibles we have in our house. It's become
If you're going to get addicted to the Word of God. I'm so addicted to the Word of God that every couple of years I have to get a new one because my other one is so torn up that I need a clean page to look at. Right? You know, you got too much highlights and then you start to read it and just remember all your old revelation. So you got to get a new Bible so God can give you a new revelation. So I have so many Bibles in our house. We don't even have enough bookshelves for it. Right? And this is what's so sad. With such an availability of the written Word of God in print, which was such a treasure for the people of Hawaii. You know, when they finally got their first tract, they would call them a tract because it wasn't a whole Bible. You know, they didn't actually print the whole Bible. What was it? It was like several years later. 20 years, okay? 20 years after the missionaries came to Hawaii, that's when they actually completed the Bible. So at the beginning, all they had was little pieces of paper with like one scripture on it. And the people of Hawaii were so hungry. Say hungry. They were so hungry for the word that they would just hurry to get this one piece of paper. Right? And they would go and they would memorize it and they would learn it. They would study it. And it was that one scripture. What's so sad to me is in America now where there is a plethora of Bibles, there is an easy access of Bibles. Oh my gosh, we can have a written Bible. We can go to YouVersion. It's free. You can go to BibleGateway.com. It's free. We have so much access to the Word of God, and yet we are so not hungry for it. And I think it's because it's too available. If like we didn't have such access to it, if it was hard to get a hold of the Word of God, maybe we would treasure it more. You know what I'm saying? If you have a ring that is just like something you got out of the gumball machine, you probably were like, yeah, it's cute. But if you lost it, no big deal, right? But if somebody gave you a 10-carat diamond and they gave you that ring, and you would probably wake up, make sure it's still on your fingers, make sure if no one stole it, make sure someone didn't slice your hand off to take it. You'd be like, okay, I probably shouldn't go into the shower with it, but I'll wear latex gloves and take the shower. I'm never taking this ring off. You would treasure it. You would pay attention to it. You would look for it. You would always want to know where it's at. And honestly, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, we as God's people should be that hungry for the Word. The Word of God would be the lamp unto our path. And the Hawaiian people would take and receive these words, and they would treasure it. And they would use it to build themselves to gain knowledge and understanding, right? In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, it says, "Does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord? Is not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces?" Does the Word of God burn in you, right? If you have been living your life and you've been filling your life with so many things, maybe you've been feeling this void in your life and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing in life. I don't know where I'm going in life. And so you fill your life with friends. You fill your life with media. You fill your life with movies. You fill your life with, you know, drinking. You fill your life with eating. You fill your life with so many things. And God would say, hunger after me because I am the only thing that will satisfy you. You can eat a 10-course meal of this world and it won't satisfy you, but 5 minutes in my presence will satisfy you. And so is the Word of God burning on the inside of you? Are you that hungry for it? The Word of God would burn in the hearts of those who would hear it and understood for the first time that God had come to them. You see, the people of Hawaii, everything was so new. Just being able to read was like, wow. You mean I'm not limited? I can learn all kinds of stuff. Yes, they were hungry to learn. And they were so excited to learn about this God that came to bring freedom to them. And for the Hawaiians, they know how they now hear about Jesus Christ, and his good news of wanting a relationship with people all in their own language. They didn't have to learn another language. They could encounter God in their language. Hallelujah. And like I mentioned, it was 20 years that had to go by before they actually got one whole Bible. Up to that point, they just got one little piece of paper every week that they had to feast on. And they would treasure it. Does anybody know what we have that's similar to that? It's free. Every month you could have this for free. It's called the Daily Bread. Anybody ever got that little book? It gives you one scripture, right?
And so if that's where you want to start, like the Hawaiian people, maybe that's how you're going to start, with the hunger for the Word of God. But God is wanting us to know that we need to be hungry for Him, okay? Just know that the printing press was a tool that made it possible for the Hawaiians to eventually read and then learn the Bible on their own. What we do here is we want you to be able to self-feed. We know that what Glenn and I give on a Sunday is not enough. It's not enough to sustain you. Can you imagine if you only ate once a week? Oh my gosh, you would be emaciated, right? So we want you to feed yourself. So Pastor Wayne Cornero created this thing called soap journaling, right? If you don't know what that is, find somebody that can teach you how to soap journal. Because when I started to soap journal is when my spiritual life accelerated. Just like the people of Hawaii, as soon as they could read, they were accelerated in their growth. For you as well, as soon as you can read the Word of God, meditate on it, and draw out applications for yourself, your spiritual growth will accelerate. And I would contend that as you spiritually accelerate, your life success will accelerate. Hallelujah. Because everything is rooted and tied to your spiritual walk. I see so many people, they're like, how come I don't feel like I'm successful in my life? I got this, I got that, and there's this. And I'm like, do you got Jesus? Because I don't care how much you got. If you ain't got Him, you ain't going to feel successful. Because none of it can fill the void that's on the inside of you. Only your Creator can. Hallelujah. Okay? There was a new level of learning that came with the missionaries. Schools were established. Mrs. Bingham established a Christian school in Honolulu. After 3 months, 40 students attended a 5 to 6 hour school day. They zealously recited the precious truths of God each morning in their own language. When in 1823, the language had been reduced to an alphabet and a primer printed, King Kamehameha II, Liholiho, the Prince Kauikeaoli, and the Princess Nahi Enaena, and other chiefs entered school and within a year could read in the Hawaiian language. So now the monarchy could read, right? And let me tell you something. As the leader goes, the whole nation goes. That's why it's important that we vote for our president. I know we can talk about how irritated everybody is with politics, you know. But as the leader goes, so the whole nation goes. So the mere fact that now the ali'i, the royalty, can now read, they're coming to Christ, they're leading by example, would change the entire nation. Incredible things were happening, you know, and I got so excited to learn about this because I kind of only heard about the negative stuff. And not to minimize it, there was a lot of negative stuff, but we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, amen? Like, we need to look at what was good that was there. Celebrate the good, because we would all agree, no matter how much bad happened, we would all agree God coming to this nation was good. You know, and if you don't believe that, well, then we need to have a talk, because we want God to come to every nation. Because guess what? This earth is going to fade away, but God's kingdom is eternal. So we want every nation to understand the eternal plan of God. Hallelujah. Okay? The Hawaiian people were hungry to learn, all because of the eager readiness for God and His Word. Remember the mission statement of the missionaries. You are to aim at nothing short of covering those islands with fruitful fields. What causes fruitfulness? Okay? What causes fruitfulness in your life? Well, the first thing we need to learn is that in order to be fruitful, you need to check the condition of your na'au. Okay? In order to see fruitfulness in your life, you need to check the condition of your na'au. Okay, and I learned that na'au basically in Hawaiian means your guts, the innermost parts of your being. It's where your soul resides. In the Hebrew, that word would be nefesh. Okay, the American word, which is soul, not enough, is heart. It's heart. Okay, and for the ancient Greeks, they would say it's the mind. But I like na'au. I like the word nefesh and na'au. It doesn't surprise me that those words are similar and that it means the inner guts, the inner guts. And so if I said na'au pua'a, what does that mean? What? I got it right. I read that and I'm like, I think it's pig guts. But that's what it means, okay? It's the inner, inner, innards. You can go order that. You can order that at restaurants, you know, the na'au pua'a.
You can order. I won't eat that. Glenn eats that. Filipinos eat that too. Hallelujah. But it's that stirring deep on the inside of you. You know where Matt Sorger came? He said, don't just listen to up here. You got to listen from down here. It's in your gut, right? You don't want to just trust your brain. Your brain will fool you. You got to listen to the deeper parts of your being, right? And so you need to check the condition of your now. You need to check the condition of your soul, right? And why? Why do I say that? Because Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 9, okay? Jesus is telling a parable. And basically a parable is a story to help you understand spiritual truths. And so this is what it says. It says, does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord. Listen, when Jesus says listen, you really need to pay attention because he don't say it that often. Okay? He says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate it. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Okay, so I'm going to do quizzes here. Hopefully y'all is paying attention. Who's the farmer? Jesus. You know this, Greg. It's not a trick question. Help me preach today. Okay? What is the farmer doing? He's scattering and sowing seeds. Why? He wants it to what? Bear fruit. How many different grounds did Jesus scatter the seed on? Four. Four. Okay? What does the seed represent? The word of God. And the four conditions of the soil, one was what? It was shallow, like a footpath, right? The other one was what? It was thorny, so then it got choked out, right? And then, oh, sorry. Isus? It was thorny. And then the other one after the thorny was fertile soil. Everybody say fertile.
Fertile.
Turn to your neighbor and say, be fertile. Okay? And it sprouted and it grew, right? Okay, so one ground, the bird ate it. The second ground, the seeds were planted, but the soil was shallow, so no deep roots. Okay, when you don't have deep roots, you cannot bear fruit. Right? The third one, the seeds were planted among the thorns, and so it got choked out. And then the fourth one was fertile soil and bare fruit. Okay. You guys with me? Now I'm going to ask you a question. The soil represents the condition of your na'au, the inner parts of your being. What's the condition of your na'au? What is the condition of your na'au? Is your na'au more like the first one? How about the second one or the third one? I would say a lot of people, their na'au is kind of like the third one. It's getting choked out with so many other things. You get so many things in your life pulling at you from every direction that the word of God cannot get planted deep on the inside of you. You cannot even focus on it. I would contend that you don't even have time to read it. Why? You get up in the morning, you're tired. So you're rushing to work because you're late. Then you're fighting traffic, now you're mad. Then you go up to get your very short lunch break. And you're like, oh, I guess I could read my Bible. But no, I only get 20 minutes a day. So maybe I'll just do it when I get home. Then you fight traffic on your way home. You're so irritated when you get home because you was in traffic all day. Then you go, oh, I just need to relax a little bit so I can watch TV. And then you were supposed to read the Word of God, but you didn't read the Word of God. Then you have dinner. And then you get sleepy because you ate a good dinner. And then maybe you want to say, I need to relax. So you have a couple or two. And then you're like, oh, I'm tired. I better go to bed now because I got to do it all over again. And then you go, What happened to the word of God? I know I woke up this morning and said I was going to have that seed planted. And then you don't bear any fruit. And then you're like, oh, I don't know if this Christian thing works. I don't think this Christian thing works. And the Lord would say to you this morning, what you been eating? Are you hungry and feasting on the word of God? Or are you hungry and feasting on the things of this world? Now, I'm not criticizing nobody because we've all been there. Can I get a high amen? Okay? But we're here today to be hungry like the people of Hawaii were. We want to be that hungry. Why? Because we want to bear fruit, right? Jesus is saying our na'au has to be like that of the fourth soil. That's many of the Hawaiians were to learning about Jesus Christ. That's how they were. The ali'i were hungry, and they conveyed that hunger to their people. Okay? We need to be that hungry. I believe that New Hope Oahu printed shirts. It was a black shirt, and it said, hungry? Question mark. Because you know a hungry person. Glenn and I, we know hungry people. Hungry people are people that have a billion and one questions for us. They're just so hungry. They want to know. They want to know. They want to, they just, you know? Hungry is people who go to the academy and they're taking class and they're just like, I'm like, you don't really need this class. I know, but I'm hungry. Right? I got people in my class in the morning that have been walking with Jesus most of their natural born lives, but they're taking my class, Basics of Christian Living. I'm thinking, wow, that's awesome. They're so hungry for God. They're willing to go back to the basics. Right? Are you hungry? Second, okay, we want to be, have a hunger. Oh, wait, hold on. I didn't finish reading the verse. So at the end of the parable, it says, then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. He said, listen twice. Turn to your neighbor and say, you get two ears. Listen. Okay? The second point we want to extrapolate this morning is hunger for God and olelo a keakua. Thank you. I practiced that. Pastor Earl corrected me 3 times. He said, it's not olelo. It's not olelo. It's olelo. I'm like, olelo. Olelo. Hallelujah. Olelo a keakua. Okay? So I got that one down. We need a hunger for God and olelo. What is that? That is simply the word of God. So we don't want to just hunger for just fellowship. We don't want to just hunger for connection. We want to hunger for the word of God. And I'm going to contend that in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. So I'm going to contend that you don't just hunger for the word of God, you hunger for the person of God. And it is through the word of God that we encounter the person of God. Hallelujah. Okay? And that's why it is so important. Scripture in Jeremiah 15, 16 says, when I discovered your words, I devoured them. Say devoured. Devoured. Who? When I hear devoured, it's like my kids when they were younger. Glenn used to say, oh, our kids, they like locusts. They just come, they eat, they leave. Because whenever we had grinds on the table, it would be like, and then we'd like all gone. I'm like, oh, dang. I got this big box of goodies. Okay, so I got these goodies because, you know, I got blessed. I spoke to some amazing people, and they just, oh, they blessed me so much I was overwhelmed. So, you know, when you get blessed, you like share it. So I decided to share my yum-yums with everybody. And then I said, oh, yeah, go ahead, have my yum-yums, you know. Had brownies and cookies and had any kind inside. Yeah, plenty. It was a big box. And then I think we had to go do something. And then I came back home and I looked in the box. It was empty. I'm like, oh, dang. They went to devour them in a couple of hours. And it wasn't just the kids. It was the adults, too. Hallelujah. Right? When I discovered your words, I devoured them. They are my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God of heaven's armies. Brothers and sisters, you bear the name of Jesus Christ. Hunger and devour his word, because his words are life to you and life evermore. Right? You don't need to just be fired up for Jesus on Sunday because you have awesome pastors who make it good fun. You could have a hallelujah party with Jesus on Monday and on Tuesday. As a matter of fact, take some of that party into your workplace and have a hallelujah party with the Word of God on Wednesday at the lunch break room. Then you invite everybody to feast with you, right? We want to devour the Word of God. Some translations say, I ate them, but I personally like devoured better. That should be how we should approach the Word of God. Pastor Earl would say, we grind them up. We grind them up, or we eat them up, right? Let's be hungry like the prophet Jeremiah. Lastly, accept your kuleana to ingest daily. Accept your kuleana to ingest daily food, okay? For locals in the house, I'm not a local, but I learned this because my kids had Hawaiian studies, so I actually did know this word. Kuleana means your responsibility, right? And now I actually say that word. It's not my kuleana. That's how I use that word. Maybe that's not how I'm supposed to use the word, but when someone asks me to do something or something happened, that's not my kuleana. That's not my area of responsibility, right? But kuleana just means it's your responsibility. So whose responsibility is it to feast on the Word of God? Your own. We do not take attendance at church. We don't call you and say, did you read your Bible today? We don't check your bookmark in your tab. I'm not going to examine whether you even have a Bible. When you come to church with your Bible, I'm not going to look and say, hey, your pages don't look like they've been turned. They need to be more roughed up, right? We don't do that. Right? See, those of you laughing know because you read your Bible. Hallelujah. You know you're reading your Bible when the spine breaks. That's when you know you're really into the Word of God. You know? Only had that happen twice, but it's your responsibility. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 47, it says, these instructions are not empty words. They are your life. By obeying them, you will enjoy a long life in the land you will occupy when you cross the Jordan River. This is about the promise to God's people that they would inherit a promised land. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you this morning that God has a promised land for you too? I don't know what your promised land looks like, but it probably is in alignment with your vision and your mission, which is why we started the new year with 2020 vision. But I'm here to tell you, if you have that vision and you have that mission solidified in your heart, that's your promised land. And what we are learning is that the B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible is your instruction. It is the light. It is going to be your guidance to get to your promised land. You just need to open it up, dig in, and read it. I get so excited when I see people read the word and it's like, wow. You know, in our morning class when we do basics of Christian living, and I get the honor and privilege of doing that with Jeff and Cindy, they are so fantastic. They bring a whole nother dynamic to the class. So, you know, thank you to Jeff and Cindy for helping us do that. I know, it's awesome. I just love hearing their takeaway from Scripture. I'm like, wow, I never thought of it like that before. That's cool. I'm going to steal that. I'm going to preach that. And then I realize all preachers steal from each other. Nobody's original. And they all stole from Jesus anyway, so nobody could take credit, right? But there's so much life when you can study the Word of God in a group. So I want to encourage you. If reading the Word of God is a struggle for you, find some people that you can do it with. It makes it so much more fun. You know, do Ohana group or do a Bible study or seek out somebody and say, hey, you know, I want to learn how to soap journal. I know every single morning here, every Sunday morning at this table out here, what time do you guys start? 8 a.m. 8 a.m. Sunday morning, Cindy is always here diligently ready to sit with anybody that wants to learn how to soap journal. We have one person that comes every Sunday. She just loves it so much. I think Cindy at one point decided, well, maybe it's time to just stop. But she loves it so much that Cindy's like, I'm fine. I'll do it. I'll keep doing it till Jesus comes back. Can you imagine if we had 20 people sitting out here at 8 o'clock in the morning doing, you know, studying the Word of God? Do you know how much more impactful and dynamic and powerful worship would be after you've been sitting at the feet of Jesus for an hour, reading his word, and then you come in here ready to worship him for everything he just poured out to you over there? So I want to encourage you guys, go after it. You know, change the course of your life by really taking heed and learning from the Hawaiian people how to hunger for the Word of God, right? for it. You know, like we had some serious luau, the luau food, yeah? Oh, bro, that food was good. I'm not going to lie. I'm so glad I married somebody from Hawaii. I would have never known what kalua pig was. If you ask me what kind of food I ate haole food. We had fish sticks. We had hot dogs. Every once in a while, mom made fried rice. We had, like, you know, pasta. I never even heard of kalua pig. Like, if we had pig, it was a pork chop. I don't laugh. Feel sorry for me. I've been here since 90. But now, you know, but we grind. We know how to eat food, right? Be like that when it comes to godly food. Grind it. Wake up wanting to figure out, how am I going to prioritize time to read the Bible? Because I want God to guide me. I want His word to light my pathway. Because I am sick and tired of living in this stinking rut. And God's word is going to get me out of this rut so that I can inherit my promised land. Amen? I know that we're over. I know we're over. And I'm going to invite my son up here because I'm going to end with this. Why is it important for you to get into the word of God? Why is it important for you to know the word of God? It's not just because you're going to read it. The word of God becomes even more powerful when you speak it. The word of God teaches us that the word of God will not return void. It will accomplish that for which we have sent it out. Which means, if God says that I am going to prosper even as my soul prospers, I'm going to prosper, I can speak that out. Lord, your word says that I am going to prosper in every area of my life. God, your word declares that I have a life and life abundantly. Lord, may my past drip with your abundance. I don't want to live with lack. I want to live in abundance. You speak that word out. And when you speak it out by faith, you have to receive a return. And so I asked him, and he surprised me. I asked the kids to sing this song, and then he came up to me. He said, oh, do you still want the special? And I'm like, oh, I just assumed we weren't going to do it. I didn't hear nobody practicing. He's like, I practiced. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. But I want us to hear the lyrics of this song because I think sometimes when you hear a message in music form, it gets planted deeper in your soul. And so this song is called Speak the Word by Tommy Walker. And I asked him to sing this for us.
Speak the word, speak the word, the eternal, infallible word. Speak the truth to me. Let it set me free. Speak the word, speak the word, speak the word. The eternal, divine, holy word. Let it calm my soul. Make me whole. Speak the word. I will hide it in my heart. Cherish every part. Let it heal, renew, cleanse me through and through. I will make it my delight, living by its light. My faith I know will rise in these words so rich and wise. Speak the word. Speak the word, speak the word, speak the word. The eternal, infallible word. Let its power rise up to dispel all lies. Speak the word, speak the word, speak the word. The eternal, divine, holy word. Let it light the path as each promise stands. Speak the word. renew. Bless me through and through. I will make it my delight, living by its light. My faith I know will rise in these words so rich and wise. Speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. Oh, speak the word.
Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? You know, Glenn and I, we love being a part of this fellowship. We love you guys so, so much. And we know the greatest gift we can give you is a hunger for the Word. Because it is only the Word of God and the manifest presence of Christ operating in your life that will transform and change you and put you on the victory side. And no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what you're overcoming, no matter what you feel so desperately you need, the Word of God can fill you and sustain you. His very presence will enfold you, will wrap around you, and will give you a love that you've never experienced. And so we never want to end this service without giving you a chance to just come back to Him. Like, just say, Lord, I just want you, right? So with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to meet Him. He is marvelous. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you here today, would you raise your hand? We just want to pray for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've given your life to Jesus and you've actually done it maybe 5, 6, 7 times, but you just never felt like you were having a living faith. It was just a stagnant faith. And with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you here today and you want a living faith, a faith that is ever-changing and growing and accelerating and on fire, and you know that maybe that's what's missing in your life is the Word of God. With every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you here today, we want to pray for you as well. Would you raise your hand? I see you, brother. I see you. Hallelujah. You put your hands down. Would you guys repeat this after me? Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the love that I experience from Him. Thank you for the fellowship that I have in Him. Father, I humbly come before you and I ask that you give me a hunger for your word. I ask that you would open my eyes and my ears and my heart to understand all of the mysteries of truth that are in your word. Not just so I can live a successful life, but so that I can be living with you intimately and experience your presence day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that I have so much access to your written word. Father, I choose now to not take that for granted, and I will seek it out and humbly sit before your feet so you teach me through your living word. It's in Jesus' name I pray these things. And all of God's children said, amen, amen. Well, we got to sing a benediction song because...